Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
We know that there is a state of emergency declared in New Jersey with flooding. Those rains, torrential rains, just came down. It was so fast. Let me know if that is, you know, if that happened in your area. I know that in the Lehigh Valley on the Pennsylvania side, Montgomery County, among those that had a lot of flooding. But we know that two people are dead after heavy rains swept across parts of the Northeast last night, inundating sections of New Jersey, for example, New York, parts of Pennsylvania, flash flooding, stranding vehicles and roadways, closing those subway lines, and led to the declaration, as I say, of a state of emergency. So flash flood watches and warnings were in place. And I did warn you about this starting at 6 a.m. yesterday morning, as we knew that the rain would start on the East Coast around 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon, continued throughout the evening and overnight. But parts of New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, surrounding areas, downpours moving through that region. And now we know we have confirmation that at least two people were killed. It happened, this confirmation, Plainfield, New Jersey, during the flash flooding that happened last night. A vehicle was swept into Cedarbrook at the height of that storm with emergency responders. They came very quickly. Tragically, both of the people were pronounced dead at the scene. They just couldn't get to them in time. I don't have the names of the people killed there because they're trying to make sure that all of the family members are notified. You can't even imagine that, but emergency crews responding quickly. And also, we know a house exploded overnight. Flooding happened in North Plainfield in North Jersey. Police say the house on Parkview Avenue caught fire. And that's a thing sometimes, depending on what's going on with all that water, some high winds moving in, having electrical problems, but we had some fires as well. So New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy declaring a state of emergency due to that flash flooding that turned deadly, unfortunately, with heavy rainfall. And so, as you well know, those emergency declarations unleash extra dollars and help those communities as you try to clean up. What a mess. And I know there were a lot of delays as far as public transportation, people still dealing with that. In southeastern Pennsylvania, there was a declared disaster or emergency, I should say, as more than 7 inches of rain fell in Pennsylvania within 5 hours last night. And this is specifically Mount Joy in southeastern Pennsylvania, closer to where I'm broadcasting from. But you think about that, 5+ feet of water within just a couple of hours. And then power outages as well. So then you lose power, the sump pump goes out, the flooded basements, and as well in yards. And we showed Nick Kales, he and his children and wife, they're staying in with their in-laws as they're in transition, moving in, getting ready to move into their new home. And so they're further out in the Lehigh Valley, and their in-laws, you know, with this beautiful, huge yard with these big trees. It looks like their home's on a lake right into the backyard. That's the flooding that, you know, he had talked about. And then the big trees, the roots get kind of loose with all the flooding. And we have more rain on the way this afternoon. So that we're looking at all the water rescues. I don't have a final count, but dozens of these rescues here in Pennsylvania. No life-threatening injuries reported, thank God. But we just all those emergency workers, they're stretched thin. And then you think about if you've ever had a flooded basement, you know how exhausting it is. And then the damage to your home, and you wish to God you had one of those, you know, generators that's an auto generator that just, boom, it just goes right into effect. But some of these stuck cars, it's just a reminder, please, God, don't drive through this stuff.
Here's a local news report of a guy that just watched one.
So this is the corner of Mountain Avenue and Park Avenue in downtown Scotch Plains. You have a New Jersey Transit bus stuck in the water, a Yankee bus, and a Scotch Plains ambulance. If I push in down here, in that white car, I just watched them hook a guy up out of the car and then drag him with a rope to this side. I guess he was the driver of the car. That's the Scotch Plains Rescue Department there. And what you're looking at here, this is a four-lane, five-lane road. You are looking at runoff from the Wachung Reserve. It's probably 3 to 4 feet.
3 to 4 feet. You know, the problem, you don't think about it, but even when you have that kind of situation, it's that's why they had to get people out and they had ropes, because there's a current, you know, and an undercurrent, if you will, that pulls people along. And then there are so many objects that are under the water, in the water, that you could hit your head. And then you have a lot of people who are not swimmers at all, or not a good swimmer. So there's that. It's not like you can just walk through the 4 feet of water. So, oh my God. There's a lot of bad news today, Dan. We need some good news.
We do.
Tell me something good.
You have something good?
Mm-hmm. We got a raccoon found with a meth pipe.
Hey, there you go.
It's a sin, but like, you look at these videos. I don't know if you ever have this moment where you start going down this avenue and you're looking at these videos of animals. My favorite video is of people recording, and I had this happen over the years with my dogs, where you have a dog that's just mad at you. Yeah, we have to have this as a segment. Tell me something good. The picture of you come home and the dog chewed something, because they're mad because you left them a little too long.
Yeah.
And so they chewed something, the couch, your shoes. We had one dog would chew only Larry's shoes or poop in them.
Why? Was that like I'm showing my dominance over the...
That was a female dog, and I just think she had... She loved me, all the kids, but if we were gone too long, it was like, it's his fault. And, now, you know.
Was he the disciplinarian with the dog?
Nope. Nope. But she just took it out on him. Take it out of the man.
YouTube.com/@1210WPHD to see some trash pandas.
The raccoon has her meth pipe.
As what?
Oh, my God.
Her meth pipe. All right. Onion, that's evidence now.
Oh, I don't want him to have
well,
that.
Well, that's why I'm going to do it.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, huh?
It's okay.
Oh. Okay, you're on Island. He'll be here in 2 minutes. I'm right across from my heart.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is what she's smoking meth in.
Okay.
Raccoon play with her meth pipe.
All right.
That's the officer, young officer. Oh my gosh. Isn't it sad that the meth addict lady, she's like a meth addict great grandma.
I don't want him to have it.
And she's like admitting, don't give it to him. But the raccoon, when great grandma passes out, the raccoon has, I think, imbibed, is an addict already. So just waits for her to pass out and then just like, you know. Inhales. Well, I don't know. What do? You inhale the thing? It's scary.
That's evidence now.
Oh, I don't want him to have
well,
that.
Well, that's why I'm going to do it.
What's your favorite? Do you have a favorite kind of like go-to funny video, Dan?
That might be coming now, to be quite honest with you. No, I don't.
Not yet?
No.
I have to say the Trump baby, the baby videos, there are new ones all the time. Mm. And that's AI. They are hysterical.
You like those?
I do.
Yeah.
They're funny.
Yeah.
You think they're getting old?
I thought the first couple of times they were cute, but then I feel like it's just become...
Yeah.
And that's the life of any meme, I feel like. It just becomes redundant after a certain point, right?
This is true. Oh, my God. By the way, the raccoon story, that's a real story. That's not AI. It was an Ohio woman, and she was arrested because she had a pet raccoon in her vehicle. I guess that's a rescue animal. But the pet raccoon, unfortunately, had the meth pipe, and so had to go through rehab. That's called raccoon rehab. They had to put him through a wildlife center rehab because it was addicted.
Sounds like a good song, raccoon rehab.
Raccoon rehab.
Raccoon rehab.
Oh, my God.
You knew who had a new song?
Play it for me.
Yeah.
Play it, Sam.
Hank Johnson, representative, the guy who thought Guam was going to tip over.
Hank Johnson coming to give you some more ear candy or perhaps an earache, but I'm going to do my best off of this Jason Isbell tune, Dreamsicle.
Oh, gosh.
Epstein died by suicide.
Oh, Jesse.
That meant you must be blind. You've been telling us you released the file, but where are they? We've gone along with what's been told. We've had plenty of time, you're in control. But now you say you will withhold the Epstein file.
Oh, there's a song written about the Epstein files.
The Epstein files. So remember him back in the day. He's a congressman. This is not his day job. He should not be singing, Dan. But we, you know what? Oh, my God. This guy is so bad. Does he think he's good?
Yeah, no. I think he does. Well, I think he might have thought so when he did the first one that he did, where it was a politically related song and he was trying to be a blues singer. But I think he got memed to death that he now realizes he's become a joke and he's just doing it.
That he's hilariously bad, as they say.
Yeah.
But this guy, it's like, Hank, give it up. And by the way, he's got an electric guitar, but he's, I don't know whose it is, but he never took a lesson. Take a lesson. They have online lessons, Hank. Seriously.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip
Epstein
over
island?
And capsize.
Talking about Guam there in that instance.
Oh, my God. Anti-Trump.
I wonder about, Epstein Island's his thought
horrible,
on that, too. Yeah,
horrible singer.
Yeah.
All right.
We should break.
When I said, tell me something good, that was not, I did not have Hank in mind. That was bad. That was very bad. But we have a lot of good stuff and a lot of news and a lot of breaking news. We got it all for you. Stay right here at Dawn Stensland on X. Make sure you're following me. Comment along on our YouTube chat, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. iHeart, Odyssey, those are the apps. Stay right there. We'll be right back. So the big story making international news is that energy leaders, and this is worldwide and world-renowned energy leaders, as well as titans of technology attending this energy summit, we're hearing that between 70 and 90 billion with a B dollars in investments for Pennsylvania will be announced. This is huge. And this is the brainchild, if you will, of Senator Dave McCormick's wife, Dina, who, as you know, worked within past administrations, the past Trump administration, and I believe George W. Bush's administration at one point, starting out in her career. But you're looking at dozens, at least 60 industry CEOs and six Trump cabinet members, as well as Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro. They are all in attendance. Rich Zioli is there live, and Rich capturing all of this. But Zioli did mention the fact that the security, as you can well imagine, with, yes, POTUS, with President Trump being there, but as well, I mean, this many cabinet members from the current administration, the governor, and then the world's top leaders in energy and artificial intelligence all meeting and converging at Carnegie Mellon University today. So Trump's speech, as Zioli had told us, expected around 3:30-ish, but this started this morning, and they're announcing these huge investments for Pennsylvania. It's unbelievable. Dan Borowski, our great Dan Borowski, we love Dan, and Dan has been monitoring the live feed that, of course, Zioli's there in person.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to take us through it, Dan?
Yeah, so we'll just go a little post-live here because Mike Rowe and Lutnick had a great exchange. It's kind of surreal, first off, to see Mike Rowe and Lutnick having an in-depth conversation about the economy. So credit to Dave McCormick for setting up such a great event. But they're going back and forth because we know Mike Rowe's the dirty jobs guy, really big into blue-collar jobs. And one of his life missions is to bring respect back to technical jobs, to trades. He penned an article, he says here, or he penned a letter to Obama, kind of fell on deaf ears. He's happy to see what Trump's doing around the trades and the suggestion that maybe not everyone needs to go to college. And it's a kind of different economic entry for young people that we're seeing under the Trump administration. So here is Lutnick and Mike Rowe going back and forth on that topic.
I wrote an open letter to President Obama and said the same basic thing. 3 million shovel-ready jobs in the Highway Infrastructure Act. Sounded pretty great. But I said, look, I'm rooting for you. I really am, but not for nothing. How are you going to sell 3 million shovel-ready jobs to a country that's not terribly enthused about picking up a shovel? And when I think today about what we're looking at and what you guys are about to do, and I'm rooting for President Trump, too. If he reshores and we reindustrialize, you're talking about 2 or 3 million jobs in manufacturing that currently don't exist. You probably have the numbers better than me, sir, but I think in
five million.
Okay. Well, open jobs in manufacturing right now.
We've got to train them. We have to train. That is fundamental. Every community college.
Yep.
Right. We've got to bring it back to high schools.
Yep.
Right. They've got to train. They've got to teach. They've got to show people that a great technician's job starts at $75,000, ends at $200,000.
That's right.
You don't need to go to college. You're working in the coolest factory in the world. You know, HVAC is not fixing your air conditioning. It's a closed loop system on the coolest technology system you've ever seen in
Amen.
Your life.
Amen.
And the people who work
Amen.
In these factories.
He gets it. He absolutely gets it. Look, it's only a matter of national security, right? And I would say, you mentioned, I read 70, then I heard 90 billion. It's going to be 100 billion by the end of the day. A lot of money. A lot of money is going to come flying into this state. What I would propose, with all humility, is that somebody somewhere carve just a little sliver out of that, a fraction of a percent, and allocate it for better storytelling. Our country needs a national resource. Pennsylvania can lead this charge, where any parent, any guidance counselor, any kid who is curious enough to explore the opportunities we're talking about can go to a destination and see people who look like them and talk like them and remind them of them prospering as a result of mastering a skill that's in demand. If we just dismiss that as PR, then we're just going to keep pushing the same rock up the same hill. I'm just here to say it doesn't take a ton, but it takes some, because a pretty good communicator's coming here this afternoon, I think, who understands the importance of getting the story right.
Yeah.
So that's my thing.
Mike, I think, you know,
you got big applause on that one, but there with Howard Lutnick, you think about all of these different industry leaders and these different panels. And so that's something that, you know, and that's what Riccioli was describing, that they have, you know, it's an all-day summit. So you have these different speakers, but think about, you know, 6+ cabinet members within the administration. It's impressive. You learn a lot. And I like that. I like Mike Rowe's idea of having somebody instead of a PR person, you know, who's somebody who's hired from a whole different walk of life. Why not have somebody who's within a job and have them with a body cam and discuss what they've learned, their job, why they like their job? I love that idea. That's a great idea. And you think about, I could take you through even Chapman Windows Doors or my team at Marvin E. Cannes, my guys, and I say my guys, they love their job. They have a great rapport with the people they work with. They know what they're doing, you know, but they take such pride in their work. And so I think about that instead of having some, I don't know, PR person. Maybe that's what Elon Musk was doing. By the way, is Elon Musk here? Because he's kind of a energy guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he is not on the list. I can read you the whole list if you want.
No, I was being facetious.
Long list.
I was being facetious that, yeah, it's a long list. Elon, not on it.
Not on it.
Not on it. Even though he just got, what did I say? I reported it earlier this morning. You know, his Grok, which I don't know if you guys have this, but I have Grok to be, and it's good. It works really well. But now he has the new updated one after they, you know, apologized for the
a quick update.
Wayward Grok. It's the prodigal Grok. So this is like the improved Grok. But no, Elon's not here. They got a $200 million contract with Department of Defense. You know, did you know that, Dan? I reported it earlier within the context of Grok. So we got that going on, which is nice. EOD
why,
and Grok.
Makes sense why Elon was incentivized to iron things out a little bit with Trump. Huh?
Well, so some of the headlines, just to give you that, Elon Musk's AI firm announces a contract with the Department of Defense. And it's, yeah, $200 million max contract with DOD. And it has to do with his AI model Grok 4, which is the much improved Grok. So the headlines, of course, the Guardian, Elon Musk's Grok chatbot melts down and then wins a military contract. Because, you know, the left is having a field day with this, of course. XAI announces $200 million U.S. military deal after Grok chatbot had a Nazi meltdown. So not all at once, but they're, you know what I mean? They're having fun. The Washington Post, Defense Department to begin using Grok, Musk's controversial AI model. Okay, that's just, it's not fair to conflate those two stories on that level. It's controversial because it had problems. They had to take it down. They fixed it. They improved it. That was, what, a week ago? And now it, but the contract, I think, was in the, obviously in the pipeline. But they make it sound as if it happened, like, altogether. So I'm just saying. Let me just say one thing.
Go ahead.
In defense of all these people, because I've had this happen in television, the people, the department that writes headlines, either in print, on the internet, streaming, broadcast, different departments. So in other words, if you're a news reporter on television or whatever, you're doing an investigative report, you have no power over the promotions team or the headline team. Different departments, different people writing the headline. It's infuriating. And I had big fights, over the years with people, because you should be able to write your own headline. But it's obviously like a clickbait thing. So anyway, go ahead, Dan.
We do have to break. I apologize. We have to hear about the great kitchen magic first.
Kitchen magic. Kitchenmagic.com. Again, you know, great careers at all of these places. And, you know, it's important to think about that. These jobs are rewarding jobs. And moving forward, I'll just tease this, Dan, because Dan found this story about different generations. And the generation just graduating college, the class of 2025, one of the highest, you know, unemployment rates. And they should be able to find a job. They should have the job. Why don't they have these jobs? So great news from my friends at Kitchen Magic, kitchenmagic.com. They're local. They're a Pennsylvania employer. And if you're heading to the shore, let's say, and you're dreaming about upgrading your kitchen, Kitchen Magic can help you fall in love with your kitchen again. They are family-owned, Pennsylvania-owned, American-made, and yes, tariff-proof, so your remodel stays right on budget. Enjoy 24 months same-as-cash financing. Don't wait. Get started today, kitchenmagic.com. You can always call 800-237-0799, 800-237-0799. Kitchen Magic since 1979, kitchenmagic.com. Do it. Tell them Dawn sent you. We'll get back to the Pennsylvania summit, but just a few other headlines as the Department of Justice has reportedly rejected Ghislaine Maxwell's, that's Epstein, Jeffrey Epstein's ex, Maxwell's appeal in a SCOTUS, in a Supreme Court response. And so Maxwell, as you know, serving 20 plus years after she was convicted by a jury in New York about 4 years ago in 2021 of 5 counts involving child sex trafficking of a minor and conspiracy. Department of Justice yesterday asking the Supreme Court to deny the Epstein associate, Ghislaine Maxwell, deny her appeal of her sex trafficking conviction. So this is a move that follows the department recently coming under fire for its handling of those Epstein's case files. And I would submit to you, it's really the handling of the public relations involving promises made by Trump officials, i.e. Pam Bondi. But Maxwell, who's 63, convicted, like I said, by that New York jury, and she was convicted of decades behind bars. Her team has made all kinds of appeals. I don't see her winning those appeals. She has reportedly, or her attorneys have said, oh, she's happy to testify, for example, before Congress. I just think she is this convicted, you know, probably their view on this, a convicted associate of a pedophile and sicko child trafficker. So I don't know what good that does unless she's willing to do something that she was not willing to do before, and that is name names or tell her involvement. And if she was part of a blackmail scheme or what have you, she has denied all of that. So I don't think she's going to implicate herself unless they give her like full immunity or something. I don't really know where that goes. I guess it's provocative. So, by the way, as far as Scott Bessent, he has Treasury Secretary Bessent has said the formal process to find the next Fed chair has already begun. So the writing has been on the wall for quite some time for Jay Powell, for Jerome Powell, who Trump has been very critical, as we've talked about, with regard to these lowering of the interest rates, hasn't done it, but we have the expectation they're going to lower interest rates. Yes, they're gonna do it. It's just when. Please, step up, Mr. Powell. I don't know. I was trying to whistle, but I don't know.
Can you not whistle?
I lost my whistle.
No. Okay. Good.
Well, I'm trying. You know, my Graham and my dad, they can do the whistle where you put your fingers in your mouth. It's like really loud. Like you could hear it like three blocks away. And you know what I mean? Like with the, I can't do that.
It's not working for me either.
I know. It's so fun. You know, you think of all the fun things that Dan and Maisie Borowski, when their baby's born in October, and all the fun things with your kids, putting the car seat in, all those fun moments. And that just reminded me of.
Doesn't sound like much fun.
No, it is. But like, it reminded me of teaching your kids to whistle. Do you know what I mean? That is so fun.
Is it?
And just those little fun moments. So I always, I don't know, that just crossed my mind.
Hello, Peppa. What are you doing?
I'm learning to whistle, but I can't do it yet.
Hmm, that sounds hard.
It's impossible. Can you whistle, Susie?
No.
Did you call the president, Daddy?
I mean, that's sad if you can't whistle, but good.
Can I tell you something, Caillou? My kids did not watch Peppa the Pig or Caillou. Those are just annoying. They're such annoying. So you have to this is my advice for you and your wife. Watch some of this stuff now so you boycott it and don't ever expose your child to it.
That's the thing is with Peppa Pig, this clip itself kind of turns dark real quick because on the phone she has her sheep friend and she explains how to whistle to her sheep friend. And then once her sheep friend is able to whistle, take a listen.
What's whistling anyway?
You put your lips together and blow.
Like this.
She hangs up on her because she's angry that her Frank can now whistle.
Little jealousy thing?
Right?
Oh, my
gosh. Yeah, let's teach kids jealousy, Peppa Pig. Thank you.
Just have the joy of... That's why for my kids, so many of my friends do this where they, they just do the old school DVDs, VeggieTales or whatever, whatever it is. Just do the... Have a little CD player. If you need one, I have a brand new one. I'll give it to you.
Yeah, I'm going full like late 90s PBS with the kid. Arthur...
No.
Oh, come on. Arthur's fantastic.
No.
Yes, Arthur's good until they went full, like, DEI at the end there. I watched all of them.
Little Einsteins.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, you got to get
the... Come on, Rocket.
These Little Einsteins, they also have the classical music, and that's something important for
Beethoven,
kids.
Yeah. They love it. There's so many VeggieTales I highly recommend. That's another one that's... Plus, it had, like, Larry the Cucumber, which is my Lair Bear, so it... I don't know. I just thought that was funny. I don't know why.
Do you call Larry the Cucumber?
Uh-huh. Like, look, Larry, shut up. And I forget who the tomato is. Anyway, so you want to go back to the Pittsburgh big summit?
Yeah, let's go back just for a couple seconds because here we have the moderator, Toby Rice, CEO of EQT Corporation, directly asking Lutnick for more information on how the federal economic advancements are spurring economic development and how Pennsylvania can be the leader, leading the forefront. Take a listen. Thought I had it. There you go.
Secretary Lutnick, let's get back to you. Can you tell us a little bit more about the initiatives you're doing at the federal level and to spur economic growth in this country, and specifically what Pennsylvania can do to align its policies to take full advantage of what you're trying to push at the federal level?
Well, the first thing was U.S. Steel. So Nippon Steel... wanted to invest in Pennsylvania and in the Mon Valley. But the problem was, how do you thread that needle where you have another country that historically has been a low-priced, what we call in government, dumper of cheap steel into America, right? And so how do you thread that? And what the What we did is we created something called a golden share that allowed Nippon to invest $14 billion building, you know, rebuilding our blast furnaces, rebuilding and investing in Pittsburgh and in the Mon Valley, but doing so with leadership and oversight that they can't move the plants, they can't idle the plants, they have to actually deliver the economics or they actually lose control of their own company if they don't do what they said. So if you think of what the golden share is, it's really, will you do what you said you're going to do? And so that allowed, you know, a huge investment in U.S. Steel to be right here, right in Pittsburgh, and revitalize the steel making. And generally, then the president put a tariff. And so let's take a minute on tariffs on steel and then what tariffs mean generally. We have been at a competitive disadvantage for 80 years. For 80 years, we let other countries put tariffs on us, and we did not put tariffs on them. And our labor, as you know, tends to be more expensive than global labor. So we have an expensive comparative labor market and an asymmetric tariff regime that makes us non-competitive. And what happens? Our entire industrial base moves away in the classic Adam Smith thing. If the invisible hand of Adam Smith is on your back, pushing you out of America, lo and behold, take decade after decade after decade, there's none left. So what President Trump is doing is he is righting that. He is fixing that ship right now, and he's doing it his way, which is a powerful way to say that asymmetry is going to reverse. We are going to have the lowest tariffs that we sell outward and higher tariffs that you're going to pay to come in, right? And that is going to level the playing field. We're still going to have comparatively expensive labor, but at least the government is going to level the playing field. It's going to stop, like, dumpers coming in and puts tariffs on steel and aluminum and copper, and you're going to see it on lumber, and you're going to see it on all sorts of products. But the idea is to level the playing field. And if you level the playing field for America, Americans always win. And that is what's going to happen.
Secretary Lutnick.
So that was Secretary Howard Lutnick as he's talking about so-called cheap steel. So you may say, and I joke a lot about buying. I haven't bought anything on Temu, so you don't have to. But, you know, cheap stuff. So you might, you know, you might go to a dollar store and buy some cheap toys for, you know, whatever, because you're going to go to the shore and they're going to lose it or throw it. You know, it's going to get junked anyway. But cheap steel, there are some huge issues with this when you think about structural integrity and durability of any structure of any building. It's important, because that poses a serious safety hazard moving forward. We want to build things to last. You think about building American. And when you think about steel here, that we can control the quality of it rather than something that could bend, that could crack, or God forbid, that could even collapse under some kind of stress. Think about building right now. I'll just one example. We learned through these parking garage collapses. It's just one tiny example. Parking garage collapses that have happened. And sometimes the parking garage is actually in the lower level of a bigger building. Then you have the cars that are the EV cars. Well, they got the heavy battery. They're much heavier, right? And so now all of a sudden you have these in older cities like Philadelphia, Boston, New York, you know, East Coast cities in particular. And now maybe if they're not built with that high quality steel and the highest quality ingredients, if you will, in construction, yeah, for your bottom line, for your cost, does it seem initially like it's a good idea? Okay. But over the years with stress, and then you think about the floods we're having, even here in Philadelphia, remember not so long ago when you had the idiots diving off of, when we were flooded, the Vine Street Expressway was flooded. And think about what that does when you have flood waters, when you have all of the weather that you have. And now over this time, it can also have welding issues, because inconsistent composition or the impurities in the cheap steel can cause you know, that can be problematic during welding. And so now one other reason you don't have the greatest connections, if you will. So just reduce strength. The hardiness is not there. The lasting effect is not there. All of this has to do with why we want high quality American made U.S. steel, right? And so all of that edge retention, corrosion resistance, reduced strength, all of that matters, and inconsistent quality. So there were, even after I was looking up while Mr. Lutnick was speaking, I was even thinking about there at the time they investigated after September 11th, after the tragedy there with the obviously terror attack, but there were reports that in fact, as the buildings, they were built with the highest quality steel at the base of the buildings, but then they didn't mind if it was the sort of, you know, less quality steel or not as high quality, not as heavy and durable at the top. That was one investigation that had to happen way back when. So for many reasons, you want the highest quality. We have to take a break. Quick break. We'll be right back. And we'll talk about, speaking of high quality, we've got to talk about my high quality friends at the Piazza Auto Group. If you look behind me, I'm always broadcasting from Odyssey World headquarters, right here from the Piazza Premium Automobiles and PiazzaAutoGroup.com studios. And we thank the Piazza family for sponsoring us for so many years, as you know, here at Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Got to talk about Piazza Auto Group. So Acura just named America's best value luxury brand in Kelley Blue Book's 2025 Consumer Choice Awards. What does it mean? Top performance, cutting edge tech, unmistakable style, all with long-term value you can trust. From the sporty Integra to the all-new ADX, Acura delivers more for your drive and for your dollar. Visit them. Piazza Acura in Ardmore, Reading, or Westchester. Shop online, PiazzaAcura.com, for those special offers. PiazzaAcura.com, PiazzaAutoGroup.com. Tell them Dawn sent you. So as I think about the Jersey Shore, Ocean City, Sea Isle City, we all have our shore destinations. And over the weekend, the food. So we had Chickies and Pete's fries, because remember it was, you know, crab fry donation day with our friend Pete Cherokee on Friday. And I did have, like, I counted them. I had like 12 crab fries.
Oh!
So good.
Only 12?
Yeah.
How do you limit yourself to only 12 crab fries?
I don't know why it was like 12, because at first I was like 8.
Like, my surprise came from the other end, I think, too. How can you limit yourself to only 12? It's not, oh my gosh, you had 12.
So then we were down the shore, and then Chickies and Pete's, they have, I mean, good, they're on the Ocean City boardwalk, so we had more Chickies and Pete's. And then we had Manco and Manco.
Oh.
And the pizza, and Manco and Manco has these dry wings, which you have, which Ooh. Are less calories and protein.
But do you get sauces on them, or?
You can, but the dry, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
And then the homemade donuts, like those homemade.
From Manco?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. From Bob's or any of the.
Yeah, no, yeah. I know what you're talking. I just didn't know if I was doing that. No.
God, that's so good. So then I think of all that because, of course, there's this new study that talks about why we have an obesity epidemic. And there's this new study out, because they always have a new study just when you're thinking about donuts and ice cream with less chemicals in it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, tiramisu, gelato, all the summer flavors. But in this one, it says it's really not about the calories. What they're saying is it's not inactivity. Researchers don't blame the inactivity as the main cause.
And they have food.
It's the food.
Mm-hmm.
It's the food we eat. And what they're saying is,
stop eating brisket.
That's the, I know. I had. I know he was busting my chops. I don't think I've ever eaten, but they have this brisket, so I like picked off the fat. Then they had bread all around the egg, and I didn't eat the bread. But in this one, seriously, they're really talking about the long run of it, and it's processed foods. That's the bottom line. If you're eating whole foods.
Do they have non-processed foods down at the boardwalk, though? Are you going to get a salad on the boardwalk? Like,
they do have salads. Nobody's going to eat the salad.
Yeah, that's Let's true.
Or you're going to smother it in some highly processed, delicious...
Blue cheese dressing.
Mm, yeah. That's basically gook. But basically, the bottom line is that we don't drink enough water, and we drink too much sugary junk, and we have too much just junk. It's just all the processed, highly processed stuff.
I don't know if you know this, but Don's going back to Wildwood next week, and I don't know if he's going to be eating salads on the boardwalk. It seems like something he might do.
Don, would you eat salad on the boardwalk?
Sure. Well, they're inferior, but I can go for a good salad right now. Put some salmon in there. By the way, Don, is it Cherokee or Cherokee? Because
Cherokee.
I thought so. I called him that. Four people Saturday night, we were at the Joe Conklin event, said Cherokee.
Well, nope,
they're wrong. They're wrong.
Yeah, I thought so.
We've known Pete Cherokee for how long?
That's how I'm trying to say it. Yeah.
It's Cherokee.
Cherokee, okay.
They're thinking of Pat Cherokee, who was the former CBS3 longtime
anchor. Or Guy. I go by Guy.
Yeah, or Guy Cherokee.
Yeah.
No relation, but no, it's Pete Cherokee.
Good. That's what I said. All right, Tom, we have Lee Zeldin, EPA director. He's at the big conference today. And Alan Dershowitz, who kept his trousers on at all times with Epstein at 1 o'clock.
Okay, we'll hear from Mr. Trouser on, allegedly. Just kidding. Yeah. Great Tom show as PhD continues.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.